It's Tuesday, July 5th, 2005, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Welcome to the show, everyone.
You're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you almost live from Honolulu, Hawaii.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the show. I hope everyone had a wonderful 4th of July weekend. I know that I have had an absolutely wonderful one myself. And I want to welcome to the show. Hello, 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 everyone. And as always, if you're a new listener, we want to make sure that you find the primary website over at geeknewscentral.com and check out all the great commentary over there, along with all the older podcasts that are available on the archive. And we're going to do a little promo here, too. We want to make sure that all our new listeners are getting signed up for the mailing list. And I'm going to be announcing a contest for those that are on the mailing list over the next couple of shows. So make sure that you, when you get to the main website, that you click on Podcast Newsletter and choose if you want to be on the interactive newsletter or on the, just basically, I send you out two newsletters a week that basically contains the show notes for each show, so you can choose which one you want to be on. Otherwise, thanks for being with us, and welcome to our podcasting family here. Well, everyone, how was your weekend? Mine was good. You know, if you can call sitting in front of my computer and having my marketing and my management college course books open and doing a review, I'm quite honestly Saturday, all day Saturday, and actually all day Friday also, because I was off on Friday. I spent completely immersed into my two college courses, getting ready for my final exams, which are next week, or actually this week. I have to take one on Thursday and then take one on Friday. So, oh yeah, a little bit of pressure, self-induced, obviously, because I'm trying to make sure I'm ready to take it. But, you know, that's the way it is. That's a sacrifice you have to make. And then Sunday, we did some things with the kids, ran around, took care of some personal stuff. And then, of course, today, of course, this podcast goes up very early in the morning of the 5th, but today's was the 4th. And we spent that time with some friends of ours, actually over on Pearl Harbor, over on the Naval Station at Pearl Harbor, and actually watched the 4th of July fireworks from the deck of a ship over there, which was pretty cool. Got up and close, and boy, I tell you, they put on one heck of a display. And I don't think I've been that close to a good fireworks display in many years, and won't soon forget it. But I do have a lot of info going to go through tonight. I have we got a blast of email from people. So much, in fact, that I'm not going to be able to go through it all. I actually got some promos from you. And if you're a podcaster, we want to make sure that you send me your promo, okay? Send it to geek@geeknewscentral.com. Send a link to it. And I will play those in order as I get them. So it's first come, first serve. And we'll have one queued up for you here in a little bit that we'll play. But I guess I want to talk a little bit about some of the listener email, and I got one here from Jim. Jim has basically talked about he's a podcaster who is creating a show on wireless stuff, and they're getting ready to do a second show and are looking for some new formatting for their podcast and also their website. And he asked me a question about my movable type setup. And he asked, did I design the three-column layout? I actually used a web developer, Jim. And if you want, I can get you his name. I'm not a graphics person, so I leave that to the professionals. And I had a great guy figure it out. Now, my configuration's a little different because I had some requirements that had to be met to make it fit with the old system. I didn't want to, or the old style. I didn't want to change too much when we went to three columns, but I can put you in contact with him The gentleman does reasonable work, does great work, in fact. So I'll now send that out to you. I did get some comments back from some new listeners of the show. They're listening to us via the iTunes, basically subscribed via iTunes. And a couple of you that have actually switched to using iTunes as your primary podcatcher. And right now we're running about, see how many emails I've got here. I've got around 10. I think I've got like 50 that I received. And we're running about 75-25. On the 75% of you like what Apple has done, and 25% of you that are continuing to use either iPodder or iPodder X or one of the other podcatcher applications like Doppler. But Shane had a positive reaction to iTunes, and he basically puts on he used to be an iPodder Lemon user. And that he had some issues with it before in playlists, and he's upgraded, and so far he's real happy as a listener. It was easy. He had to find a few of the feeds but for the most part, it was a pretty easy move. I got an email from Tim, and he has a concern that I'm going to go into a little bit tonight, also about some of the commercial relationships that are developing within the. Actually, the podcasting section of the music list. But he upgraded to 4.9 from 4.8. Actually had some issues. Anyway, he's getting those figured out. But he's going to be continue to use iTunes for the near future. And Tim, thanks for being with us for a while. You indicated how long you'd been listening to the show. And we appreciate having you part of the family. I got an email from Jeff, and Jeff says first of all, he loves the podcast, and Jeff, I really appreciate the feedback on that, and he also says that he likes the iTunes experience so far, and even though he was using iPodder before, it looks like he is going to stay with the iTunes iteration also, just because as a listener, it makes it easier for him. And then I got an email from kind of a different topic from Chris, who's been listening to the show and actually getting caught up to the show. And he gave me some indications on an idea that he had for a show. And Chris, I think the idea that you have for a show would be absolutely wonderful. And especially for a person who has experienced what probably all of us would it was one of those life-changing events, and basically Chris had a double lung transplant, and he is thinking about doing a show on cystic fibrosis. So I think this is a good idea, Chris, and please let me know if I can help, and I'll do everything to assist you in that way, and if you need any consulting, I'll throw some in, basically give you some consulting to help you get started, but good luck and work with some of the people in the community. I think that would be a great podcast, great resource for people out there facing that type of a operation. Now, I did get a email from Neville Hobson. I have to tell you what this guy. He does a lot of reviews. He talks about our podcast a lot in his shows, and he actually got our book, The Podcasting to Do It Yourself Guide, and did a audio review on it. So I'm going to point that out in the show notes today. I've got my little one knocking on the door here. He's coming to hear me. Says he wants in to the office. And finally, I've got a question from Marku from he's a Finnish listener, and he wants me to talk about RSS tags that Apple has implemented. And what I'm going to do, we'll probably cover that at the very end of the show because I've got a lot of content that I want to get into tonight. And so, Marco, if you're looking for that info, it's going to be saved for the very end of the show so we don't make some people's eyes glaze over here as we talk too much about tech. Now, I do want everyone to know that on Thursday, I've got a great offer coming from GoDaddy. But for today, if you run a website, you know how important security is for transactions and information. SSL certificates are essential, and GoDaddy.com makes it oh so affordable to get the cert that's just right for any site. Own trusted root up to 256-bit encryption, GoDaddy SSLs cost as little as $29.95 per year. Plus, my listeners get an additional $10 off on any SSL order. Just enter GEEK10, that's G-E-E-K, and the number 10 as your source, as your source code. And thanks for GoDaddy for being a sponsor. And hey, I got a great promo coming on Thursday, okay? And you'll really want to tune in for this if you want to save some money. Okay, what else? What have I got? I got a lot today here. Hey, what about NASA? Whew, man. They started the 4th of July on the 3rd. And Deep Impact, well, it had an impact. It ran into Temple 1 and produced the most amazing, absolute amazing pictures are coming back that are being put up on the NASA website. Congratulations to the NASA team. And, you know, think about that. You know, they launch a spacecraft and they send it on a rendezvous with this comet. And then they take and turn the satellite a little bit and shoot this probe off it. And then they aim it so that it'll intercept. And then basically they have this huge head-on collision in it. And then they take the satellite that shot the probe or shot the impactor, and they turn it so it's pointing at a spot on the comet. And the cameras were within 50 meters from the observer satellite, or from the flyby satellite. The cameras were within 50 meters of the impact zone. Wow. Is that amazing? And the images are just, whew, they're amazing. So I'm sure some of you have seen them already. And make sure that you go over and check out the show notes that we have up and the links to NASA. And good job on NASA. It's taxpayer dollars well spent. Now, I do want to talk about, we on show 75, I had a contest that gave away two podcasting packages. So one of our winners, John and Casey, had produced their first podcast. And basically, I talked with them a little bit on Sunday evening before they did the show. And what they have done is they are creating a show called Domestic Life. And if you go to my website, you'll see that I put a post up to it. And their podcast is basically going to be talking about married couple issues, raising kids, and typically domestic life. And we'll be watching what they do. They're planning on doing two shows a week. And I think that the first show turned out really well. And we'll see what happens over the next half dozen shows or so. But if you are looking to add that type of a show to your listening lineup, I'm going to recommend Domestic Life, and it's at domesticlife.org. And, of course, the link will be up in the show notes. Now, I've got a lot of tech to talk about tonight, but I want to address a posting I put on my website on July 3rd. And this is another kind of a podcasting issue. So I know some of you are kind of saying, okay, come on, get through the podcasting stuff. But I think it's important. You know, when I do this show, and if I talk about anyone that is in the techpodcast.com network that I'm associated with, that I have a business relationship with, I disclose that. If I talk about a vendor, in other words, if someone sends me software and they give it to me for free, I disclose that. You know, I give full disclosure to tell you when I have a commercial relationship with another show. So that way, if I do a promo for a show, then you guys will know straight up front that there's a relationship that exists that is could be financial, okay? So my issue is, and about 90% of you are saying so far they've seen the article saying that you agree, and I'm getting about 10% that say that you aren't. But here's my deal, okay? We know that Adam, I appreciate everything Adam Curry has done with the promotion of podcasting. We would not be where we are today without him, okay? So, you know, I credit him. You know, my book would not have been possible without Adam and Dave's collaboration. And so, you know, I'm not at all bucking anything that he does. But then here's the but, okay? He's doing a show for Apple. Or maybe he's paying to do a show for Apple. We don't know, okay? But there's a show on Apple called Podfinder. It's highlighted front and center. It's getting lots of, it's getting a lot of eyeballs put on it. And he basically reviews podcasts, okay? He talks about different podcasts. So I downloaded that first show that he did, and I listened to it. And I first few shows were like, oh, yeah, these are some shows that are really good that I wasn't, that I don't necessarily listen to, but I've heard about before. And then in short order, 1, 2, 3, he talks about 3 of his shows that are aligned with him financially with Podshow and his company. But he doesn't disclose that. I think anytime someone, Adam has become more of a spokesperson for the community, okay? He is our person that's out there spreading the word on podcasting, okay? I have no issue with that. I think that's great, and more power to him. But I think, though, when he is speaking for the community, and I don't know if he is, but this may be a paid show that he's doing for Apple. Maybe Apple's paying him to do that. I think he should disclose when he has a financial relationship with a podcaster or a website. And the reason for that is you have those of you that have been with us for 75 shows or 79 shows, whatever, I think we're 79 tonight. Those of you that have been with us from the beginning know the history of podcasting. Know everything that's been going on in the politics and all the other stuff that sucks, okay? But for the person that is being exposed for the very first time, they don't know that. And I think it's disingenuous to not disclose if there's a financial response, financial relationship. And we'll see what happens over the next couple of shows that he produces there. But I basically said on my website, hey, Adam, when you do that, disclose it. Okay. Say, hey, he's part of my network, right? I don't mind. If he's going to promo him, it's cool. I don't care, but disclose it. Okay. And what he does on his personal show and what he does on Sirius, that's none of my business. And that's not really, maybe Podfinder isn't either. Okay. But I think as a community, I think we need to be able to, I try to disclose stuff when I have a financial relationship. And if I don't, I expect someone to call me out on it and say, hey, you didn't do that. And I'll leave it at that. But I don't know if Adam listens to the show, but I just want people to know that are listening to podcasts for the very first time that there is maybe some financial conflict there. And maybe it's not conflict, but you're being directed to listen to a show where money is exchanging hands between Adam and the show that's being produced. So I don't know how you can do that how you can recommend that without saying anything. Okay, enough on that. Also in the news, Microsoft, rumored to be getting ready to buy a spyware company. And I don't know what you guys think about that, but I was like, you got to be kidding me. If they buy this company, and it was basically the company that was responsible for the spyware program called Gator, if they go ahead and buy that, oh my gosh, can you imagine? People already have enough conspiracy theories about Microsoft to talk about, let alone them going doing something like this. Hey, we talked about NASA a little bit and about science already tonight, and I do want to turn you guys on to a pretty cool podcast that I have been just found. I didn't realize it was out there. Someone sent me a promo, and I want to check. You guys, why don't you check this out?
Hi, Todd. Fraser Kane here. I'm the publisher of Universe Today, which is a space and astronomy website that I've been maintaining for more than 6 years. I just want to let your listeners know that I'm now recording podcasts for Universe Today. Instead of just reading about space and astronomy news, you can listen to it on your computer or mobile MP3 player. You'll hear me interview astronauts.
So I think the current launch will be as safe as anyone they've ever done.
Astronomers.
And the flyby, or the mothership, will slow down a little bit and change its direction ever so slightly so that it will be able to watch the impactor hit the comet.
And physicists.
I would say it's theoretically impossible to build classical matter which is stable and can stabilize a wormhole.
I'll give you information about the latest space and astronomy news from the people making the news. To subscribe to the Universe Today podcast, point your subscription software at universetoday.com/audio.xml. You can also subscribe to the show through iTunes 4.9. Just search for Universe Today and then click subscribe. Thanks for listening.
All right. Great promo. And we will put a link up on the show notes to Universe Today's website. Go over there and check that out if you're into science. And I know that we've got a couple of people that actually build spacecraft that listen to this show. So I'm sure this will be one that you guys will want to check out. Hey, I know nobody reads newspapers anymore, but I found a cool site. It's called NewsEum. It's NewsEum.org. And basically, it's a pretty cool website that has links on the main page to major newspapers. In other words, if you want to go read a front page of a major newspaper all across the United States, you can go to the site and basically click on a button, and it'll bring up the front page. Now, not only in the United States, but it also has South America, Middle East, Europe, Caribbean, Asia, Africa. So it's got a lot of different countries that it covers. So a pretty cool little deal on being able to read front page articles on major newspapers worldwide. Along with that, I got a sneak peek today, and I'm sure those of you that read Engadget site did too. But they have got a picture of the Motorola E790, and it's an Apple iTunes enabled phone. Pretty basic little phone, but it's got a very unique button on it. It's got a music button, and it looks like a standard iTunes interface. Now, the question on this is, how much memory is this thing going to have in it? Is it going to have enough memory? Are you going to be able to load like a put a stick in it and have a couple of gigs? That's the thing that's holding back cell phones right now, is the total memory that they can carry. So I'm sure if they're going to the trouble of putting in building iTunes into this phone, then I would foresee that it would have more. Now, it says it's shipping with a 128 megabyte trans flash card, but it doesn't say how big that goes to. So maybe someone can tell me what's the biggest trans flash memory stick that's out there. Okay, Robert Scoble put up a pretty cool little link today, and he basically found an article that was basically from a slash dot of an interview or something that Chris Prillo had done in CPU Magazine, that he had said that Windows software has become uninspiring to him. And I guess this surprised Robert quite a little bit. So Robert put some cool links up to some applications that I have not yet really looked at. Now, OneNote is an application that I do use, and I really do like it, especially if you're a student going to school and taking notes. This OneNote application works real good. But some other ones that he recommended was Google Earth, Office Communicator, NASA WorldWind, MindJet MindMap. And I think that is a pretty cool little app. I've seen that. That is an app that if you do planning, I would very highly recommend that you take a look at. We were demoed that at GnomeDex. Really, really awesome. And especially if you have a tablet, man, this is an ultimate tool to do planning. And even if you're using a desktop, I think it would be good too. Robert also recommends Streets and Trips 2005 with a GPS. An application called Vents, V-E-N-T-U-Z, that I am not really familiar with. And, of course, the old Autodesk AutoCAD 2006. And I tell you what, I spend a lot of time at AutoCAD. I am pretty much let's put it this way. I've spent a lot of time in AutoCAD over the last 3 years, and I really do like the product. Now, I haven't tried 2006. I have 2005 loaded on the desktop here. So I'm going to have to see what AutoCAD has introduced in the 2006 version. Also, he recommends, of course, Microsoft Photo Story version 3, Active Worlds, and let's see what else. A bunch of stuff for the tablet, Experience Pack for the tablet PC, something called FlightStar, along with Flight Simulator. So, you know, here's a whole bunch of cool stuff that is out there. Now, here's the deal. You know, what I would really like is to have an affordable Windows-based voice recognition software. There's some out there, but boy, they are really, really pricey. Has anyone found a voice recognition software for Windows that is inexpensive that the average Joe can buy without breaking the bank? Because there are many times I wish I could just speak my post versus typing them, because I just, I don't know about you, I don't type 100 words a minute. So it would sure make life a lot easier. And then if I could just get it in there real quick and then go in and then do the editing, it sure would make writing weblog posts a lot easier. Okay, Six Apart is reporting that some people that are using movable type are having some issues when the when Perl, or actually when cPanel, is being upgraded, and it contains a certain Perl module. Apparently, the modules that are currently identified is the DBI and the DBD :MySQL. So apparently, there's been some issues where system administrators have updated cPanel and some of those Perl modules, and it's killing movable type installs, and it's giving a 500 error anytime someone tries to load a website page. This is not good. So Six Apart is looking at that real close, so keep an eye on your site, folks, especially if you're using movable type. Okay, there was a article on Boston.com Business. It says, time for the next really big internet idea. And it talks about companies that are actually a couple of people that are going to be investing $100 million in RSS startups. I think we talked a little bit about this the last show. But I'm working with a group of people right now to do something new. And I guess I'm going to kind of plug it right now and kind of ask for those of you that are podcasters to really pay attention right now. I've talked about it before with my Podcast Connect company, so this is a commercial pitch here, is that we are getting together. I've got together a team that we're putting together a podcast site that's going to be called Podcaster News. And what that is going to entail, it's going to be a site that will have content like sports, tech, politics, anything that is normally carried on a ABC channel or CBS, something that, you know, your top news stories. So it would be international news. You know, you cover the spectrum. So I think right now we've got around 14 or 15 different categories. And what we're looking for is we're looking for some podcasters to come in and work with us. And we're going to be producing with those podcasters and providing a site where you can go to and subscribe. You can log in as a user. You can go in and you can click and say, I want sports, I want tech, I want politics, I want financials. And we will build you a custom RSS feed that you will be able to subscribe to. And then as our correspondents or our podcasters put together daily content, and the goal is to have daily new content, and you'll get that in a format that is like NPR, will last about 3 minutes per segment. So we're looking for some podcasters to join up with us to be anchor people, okay? So we're actually going to be forming an actual little news network. I am at this point going to be doing the hosting of those of the site and the shows. We have a third party coming in that is actually, yeah, some other people that are going to be doing the programming of the site, and so there's a lot of non-podcasters. So it's kind of I did a call out for some help, and those gentlemen are all working together and working hard, and we're looking at a launch that is not too far down the road. So if you're a podcaster and you want to get involved in this, we would like to hear from you. So you can send me an email at geek@geeknewscentral.com. Now, to go along with that, we're looking for some legal advice. So if you're a lawyer, or if you're have been involved in doing startups, we'd like to talk with you a little bit. And because we're kind of thinking that these guys that have got this $100 million to give away on RSS, we may try to go capture, you know, try to get some money to do some things with this podcaster news network. And it's going to be pretty awesome. If everything falls into place, you're going to be able to get an NPR-style format. We're kind of going to track it that way. It's going to be short and sweet. And on a variety of topics. So if you're interested, drop me an email. If you're interested in getting us in contact with some legal advice, that would be awesome also. So enough on the commercial pitch. Back to the regular news. I was reading on Mark Cantor's website. He was talking about the promotion that Technorati is doing on their Live 8 thing. And I guess I'm kind of wondering, and I guess I'm agreeing with Mark, you know, what does that have to do? You know, I'm sure it's a good event, and it's, and it is, you know, there needs to be good awareness throughout the world for, you know, the goals of the Live 8, a series of music events, and the fundraising is going along with that. But I don't understand their model behind this. Well, how does this tie into their overall business plan? Is it, was this just a goodwill thing? And, you know, I'm just hoping that they are, I'm hoping that Technorati has a good business plan, as Mark also indicates, because I'll be honest with you, we need you, Technorati. We need you to stay on the cutting edge and to stay ahead of everybody. You know, PubSub is working hard, Feedster is too, to bring on new features. And if you guys are sleeping behind the switch here, you know, you're going to get beat hard. So make sure that you you stay in tune to your typical business model. Okay, Dave Weiner pointed me at a, of course it was on his website, those of you that have been to Colonial Williamsburg probably realize the significance of that that historical area. But what's cool about this is Colonial Williamsburg is now producing some podcasts that are in historical nature that talks about historical events surrounding Colonial Williamsburg. So if you're planning a trip into Virginia and going to Colonial Williamsburg, this would be a great place to hook up with some real cool podcasts that you could, you know, not probably use while you're there, and also, you know, get a pre-look at what's going on. And if you have never been to Colonial Williamsburg, I recommend that if you get out to the East Coast to check it out. Okay, I've got an application that I like to use that I've been using for a while. It's called Replay Radio. And they've got, they've built podcasting into the application. It's typically used to capture audio from streaming events. And you can basically just save it as an MP3. You know, if you've got a streaming event that's going down when you can't listen to the stream, you can use Replay Radio to actually capture the recordings, or actually the streams, and put them in MP3 and dump them to your iPod or excuse me, your that's funny. You can dump it into iTunes or a Windows Media Player. Now, there's another application that I've heard that they make also that's called FreeCorder. Now, from my understanding, FreeCorder now is able to record Skype phone calls. It's been a big issue for a lot of people for a while to be able to record Skype calls effectively. So FreeCorder is available. I haven't checked it out yet. And it has the ability to record Skype. So if any of you out there are having issues recording Skype or want to record Skype calls, check out FreeCorder. And I will put the link up, obviously, in the show notes. Both those applications, I do have experience with Replay Radio. I'm pretty happy with it. So far as FreeCorder goes, I have no experience with that yet. I guess I'm just going to go ahead and buy it, and I'll give you some feedback on that. Okay, I found an article that kind of surprised me. There is a company that's basically allowing students, through classroom interaction with each student having a TV remote control, actually, to get feedback at subjects that are being discussed immediately, you know, when they're using their laptop. And it's called Clicker. So this is something that I have not been exposed to before. And if any of you are experienced with this or have seen this being used, I'd really like some feedback on this. It's primarily being used in college books. It's being sold in college bookstores. And I don't know if it's being used. It's also being used in some high schools in Idaho. But if any of you have heard about this this device that's being used in the classrooms, I'd really like some feedback on it, and let me know what you think, or, you know, just tell me about it, because the article doesn't go into a lot of great detail. It kind of talks about how students are be able to get instant feedback on questions and stuff that they've asked versus having to wait for a professor or a teacher to ask for it. Pretty high tech, sounds pretty cool, and I just wonder if it's somehow there isn't something that we can't spin off on this idea to utilize with podcasting feedback and questions. But it's kind of where I'm headed with it. But go ahead and see if you can find me some info. If any of you do, drop me a line. Okay, it looks like that Apple may have a surprise for us here in the summer, and it's being rumored that they are going to be releasing some sort of a device that is going to be competing with Microsoft's Media Center. Now, this is all based on some thinking of experts saying, okay, well, number one, they've announced that they're going to go to an Intel chip on all of their PCs. That's going to be at least a year before those are out. So sales of PCs are going to go flat. And what are they going to do to keep their revenues up in the meantime? It's late here. I apologize. Almost midnight. And the idea is that they're probably going to come out with this some sort of a media device or media center based on Apple or OS X or OS X. So I guess we're going to have to see what happens here, see if they do something like that. I think that'd be kind of cool. I've considered using the Mini as a media center device down in my entertainment center. But I've been playing with enough here that I just don't quite want to give it up for that purpose yet. So I guess I would be interested to see if, you know, what product that Apple comes out with, because I really don't want to go buy a Microsoft Media Center because it's almost just a regular computer, right? And I don't like regular computers just being used for media stuff. I want to have it here where I can touch it and play with it and do all kinds of regular geek stuff with it, okay? So, yeah, this might be kind of cool. It might be a niche market that they can hit. Okay, those of you that are living in the UK, sorry, it looks like your Department of Transportation says that they, of course, they say they're not having plans to do this, but they have a GPS-enabled device that they have in cars that will actually prevent you from speeding. So if you are speeding in a zone that, you're going in a 80 clicks in a 60 click zone, it will actually step on the brakes or slow the car down. Imagine that. Can you imagine? Honey, we need to go to the hospital. We know I have to get you there within 2 minutes, and the car is automatically slowed down because you're going too fast. They're saying they're not going to do it, but they have the technology to do it. So we'll see what happens there. On the PSP side, it looks like someone has done a hack to run PSP games from a memory stick. So this is quite big news on the game front. I am not too in-depth on how this is actually being done, so I'll go ahead and put the link up on the website. News Dealer Gamers can go over there and check that out. Another voice IP product that I've become familiar with is called Gizmo. And there have been some reviews on it. And Gizmo is supposedly an open source project, but they're saying it's not as open as they've originally indicated. But everyone's so far said it's a pretty cool voice IP product. Probably is going to be a good competitor for Skype. And it also has some advantages. So I guess if any of you are out there using Gizmo, let me know what you think about it. And I may load it up on the computer here and try it on one of the PCs. We'll see what it does. You know, we did a tech podcast roundup this weekend on Skype, doing a multiple person call on Skype, and we had some issues. So I think we're going to try Gizmo out and see if we can do multiple person calls if it handles it any better. The New York Times has a article out that big media wants a piece of your pod. So basically it goes into kind of the commercial aspects of podcasting and how the big media players are waking up and are rushing to get podcasts on the street. I think it's pretty obvious with the iTunes Music Store podcast lined up that they are going to be placing themselves whether they're paid to be put in there or if Apple's trying to highlight them, but they're trying to get their message out. So, you know, I say welcome them in. Come on in and play, because I'll be honest with you. Do we really want to hear repackaged FM radio? I don't know if I do or not. I'm sure if someone comes up with some unique content, I might listen to it. But at this point, it's the same old controlled media from big media sources. You know, it's stuff that they want you to listen to, derived from sources that are driving their agendas. Now, I've talked about this before, and I want to warn those of you that are using Wi-Fi in your homes to secure that Wi-Fi. Okay? Don't let that just be an open spigot. Don't let people just coming in there and attaching and using your Wi-Fi at will, because people will, and some people may be doing criminal activity on your Wi-Fi connection. I have my Wi-Fi set up and on a timer, so when I know certain parts of the day that I'm going to be here, and I've set it up so that that Wi-Fi device comes on during that time that I'm actually home, and it goes off when I'm not. And I do have it secure. And I'll link the article up here. Apparently some guy was in his SUV, a real nice SUV, sitting outside of a house, stealing some Wi-Fi from some people. That he was arrested and charged with unauthorized access to a computer network. But, you know, basically he could afford an SUV. Probably that gas he was paying to run that SUV was causing him not to be able to afford broadband service. But anyway, secure that Wi-Fi, because if your neighbor's not using your Wi-Fi, you know, someone driving down the street will be. I guess that's it. That's all I've got for tonight, except for we're going to get a little bit into the iTunes tags for RSS. Okay, first of all, I'm going to link up in the show notes a specifications document that was produced by Apple. And this document has some issues with it, okay? There's some questions, and I'll talk about the questionable areas within it. But basically, what you're going to have to do is, depending on what type of blogging software you're using, whether it be WordPress, mobile type, radio user land, you're going to have to go in and do some editing to the scripts or the templates that you're using to create your RSS feeds, okay? So each one of you that are going to go out and make your sites iTunes friendly, you're going to have to go out and make these changes by yourself. Okay, now I know there's a plugin or an application people have created for WordPress, so you may find that on the WordPress website. But if you're making these changes manually like I did in movable type, they've added some tags. And basically, it's all of them are prefaced with the word iTunes. So it's iTunes semicolon category, explicit subtitle, summary, author, keywords, duration, owner, the name, the email, image, and block. And basically what each of these tags do, and I'll go into these each individually. The iTunes explicit is basically a yes, no tag. And if you set it yes, that means your podcast has explicit adult information in it. That may set up a warning flag for Apple, because Steve Jobs on a recent interview has said that he is not going to have any shows that are dealing with pornography. So if your show is dealing with pornography, I wouldn't even submit it to iTunes, because it's probably going to get rejected. The second one is called iTunes Subtitles, and it says at the channel level, this tag is a short description that provides general information about the podcast. It will appear next to your podcast as user browsers through listings of podcasts. So basically, you're limited to 255 characters, and you can talk about, it's basically a subtitle to your show. Along with that, there's a tag called iTunes Summary, and this is another thing. You put a long description of your podcast, and it'll be next to your cover art when a user clicks your podcast listing. iTunes Author, obviously you're going to want to put your name in there, and it also gives you a option to put an email address. There's also iTunes Duration. Basically, the duration tag is a place that you can put in the lower element down on an individual post where you can actually tag each show for how long it is. So this will automatically show within the iTunes player list. Otherwise, it's not going to show the amount of time that the show is. That is something that I have not yet integrated into my mobile type design because I haven't quite figured out how to do that on a show-by-show basis to be able to edit that. There's no mechanism in mobile type to put in this tag on a post-by-post basis. So I'm hoping someone at mobile type is working that. Maybe someone will do a plug-in where we'll be able to enter the time of the show. Now, here's a key one, iTunes keywords. The keywords is basically you're allowed up to 255 characters. You can put whatever you want. I think I put on mine. I put Geek News, Podcast, Tech Podcast. I put a whole bunch of different tags in there that I would hope people will find my shows, okay, by doing a keyword search in the iTunes application. iTunes owner, well, that's obviously almost a duplicate of iTunes author, but you can go ahead and put your name in there, email address, etc. Then there's one that's called iTunes image, and there's been some question whether or not this is the correct element. So we'll have to see what Apple says on that. They have not responded yet, but you can do their preferred image size is 300 by 300 at 72 dpi. With a minimum size of 170 by 170. Now, Apple did pick up my regular embedded image file that is used, embedded normally at the top of my web page. So they did pick that up, even though they did not pick up the new image that I have actually put up there for them to grab. So we'll see if that happens at some time. Now, of course, there is a iTunes block, and this is if you want iTunes not to be included in the directory, then you can do that. I guess what you can do, and I'm not going to go into this anymore tonight. I'll put the link up to the PDF, but you can take a look at my RSS feed at geeknewscentral.com/podcast.xml, and you'll be able to get an idea on where I placed all of these tags. Again, that's with the issue of the iTunes image being a question mark right now on everybody's case. Now, you'll want to make sure that if you do update your feed, set up a separate template so that you can do a test template before you go and wreck your current template, okay? So set up a separate template where you can publish it to a strange name that only you will know and use Feed Validator to validate your RSS feed. So I think that about wraps it up. I know some of you probably have not hung all the way through this particular talking, but I do want to thank you for being with us today. And as always, feel free to call the voicemail line at 619-342-7365. You can send me an email at geek@geeknewscentral.com. You can Skype me at Geek News Central. Thanks for being part of our family. Thanks for being with us tonight. It was tough finding enough news to get enough content tonight just because of the holiday weekend. I think things are going to be calmed down here quite a little bit, and we'll probably be back to a completely regular schedule again on Friday. For all the new listeners out there, again, get signed up for the mailing list. And oh, here's the deal on the contest for those of you that hung out. I'm going to be watching the mailing list, and I will pick randomly from new subscribers to the mailing list. Doesn't matter which one it is. I'll go through and put all, write all your names down on a little piece of paper, rip them up, put them in a little piece of hat, and I'll draw a name for a listener to win a podcasting, the do-it-yourself guide on the next show. So get subscribed and on the mailing list, and we'll give you a book for one of you will get a book for subscribing. I think that's it. No music tonight, obviously, because we're long. But the next time you'll be buying a cell phone, ask for Windows Mobile. Make sure that your next cell phone will have on its back a Windows Mobile logo. Cell phones powered by Windows Mobile from Microsoft offer many unique features not available for Palm OS or Symbian-based phones. And to get the latest news and a lot of resources about Windows Mobile phones, please visit www.msmobiles.com. And thanks to MS Mobiles for being a sponsor. And hey, thanks for everyone that also voted over at Podcast Alley. We appreciate it. Voting numbers are down a little bit, but heck, Podcast Alley's been offline about 90% of the time. Ever since iTunes release. And I guess they've been getting hammered, absolutely hammered, with traffic because of some goof up by Apple. And I know a little more about that, but I can't go into it. I don't know what Chris has put on his website, and I know he's had some issues over there. People are concerned with some things that he's put up on his website recently, and I think he's addressed that with some sample iTunes feeds. Him and I had a discussion about that a couple of days ago, and I think he's made some changes to correct that. At least I hope he has. But thanks for being with us, folks. And if you hung to the end, mahalo, and we will see you on Friday. Aloha.